Chapter 28. The evening bells tolled out across the countryside at Redwall. It was a windless summer twilight. Not a leaf stirred on branch or bough. The earth and grass were still warm from the hot afternoon. The abbey dwellers ceased their daily tasks and went indoors for the evening meal. Mole cooks had baked a traditional tater and turnip and beetroot deeper than ever pie. There was fresh fruit and cream, mint wafers and cider. A garland of yellow flowers graced the table centre in honour of the season. None of them knew that murder had been done that day. When the sun was at its zenith, General Ironbeak and his raiders had flown up as high as they could, hovering on the high thermals far above Redwall. Then they quietly plummeted down. Four by four they came, each bird entering under the high eaves from a different point. The general led the secret attack, swiftly and silently dealing death to the few old sparrows and late nestlings who were unable to fly. The dreadful deed was accomplished with quiet efficiency. Ironbeak and his birds were seasoned warriors. Mangus perched in the crossbeams next to his general, while the rooks searched through the pitifully empty sparrow nests. One cackled harshly. Ironbeak swooped down and felled him with a savage peck.
Silence! The great redstone house is not yet ours. I do not want those creatures below to know we are here. Quickbill and his brothers will bring in food soon, when night falls. Until then, you must all be still and make no noise.
He flew back to perch with Mangus, but the crow seemed somewhat disturbed. Ironbeak noticed his seer was not his usual self.
What is it, my Mangus? Are you having more visions?
He asked.
No. The strange thing is that my vision is clouded. The eye within my mind has been blurred since we came here today. Whatever I try to see becomes difficult. It is an earth crawler, a mouse dressed strangely. He carries a sword and seems to bar all my visions.
Ironbeak closed his eyes.
Do not worry, Mangus. Maybe it is a good omen.
Mangus clacked his beak doubtfully.
We will see, my general.
Come on. Oops-a-daisy. Up the stairs to bed with you, little Rollo.
Mrs. Church Mouse chased after baby Rollo, but he ducked beneath the table and began singing.
I wrestle a fish upon a dish, cut off his head while he's in bed, and take a rat and make him dead. For good, oh, sigh,
Sister May and Cornflower helped Mrs. Church Mouse. They scrambled under the table and chased Rollo out into her waiting paws.
Gotcha, you little monster. Now off to bed with you.
No, I don't want to go. I don't want to go to bed.
Please, Rollo, be a good fellow. Tell you what, if I come up with Cornflower and Sister May and we sing songs, then will you go?
Rollo chuckled until his little fat body shook.
Yep. Sing a song for Rollo.
The three mouse ladies took the infant bank vole up to the dormitory on the floor above Great Hall, where he was dutifully put into a cot. After several songs, Cornflower held a paw to her lips.
Shh! He's asleep. Come on, quietly now.
Rollo opened one eye. He watched them tip paw out. As soon as the door was closed, he pulled his nightshirt above his paws and scrambled out of the cot. Halfway down the stairs, Sister May heard the dormitory door slam.
Mercy me! The little rogue has escaped! Quickly!
They bounded back up the spiral staircase, reaching the landing in time to see Rollo climb another curving flight of stairs. Cornflower stamped her paw down hard.
Back to bed, baby Rollo, this instant!
Rollo turned and giggled, then he waved to them. Mrs. Church Mouse heard a slight noise on the stairs above Rollo and was about to call out to him. Suddenly, a large raven poked its villainous black head round the spiral and seized Rollo by the nightshirt in its wicked beak. The little bank vault screamed aloud as he was dragged backwards up the stairs.